Just Another Love Story by Wonky Elk, read by CookieMom6067. Brigadier General Shepard, welcome to Earth. Now, given that the Stargate program has been declassified for quite a while, a lot of people have been very anxious to hear your story. Well, I first heard about the Atlantis expedition. Actually, sir, we already have a lot of movies about that. What most people want to know about is you and Dr. McKay, you know, how you ended up News conferences are a little more casual than I remember. John closed and locked the hotel door with vigor and then rechecked the lock. Then he scanned for cameras and bugs. Already done that. Remove 7. Rodney lay on the bed, typing rapidly. He was in the early stage of the virus that was preventing him from having to do his share of the media circus, to his great and unconcealed glee. Sadly, Shepard had already had it and was immune. It still irked John that he had got the virus at an inconvenient and embarrassing time, and Rodney had lucked out by contracting it now and getting to spend the entire month here on Earth, quarantined in their hotel room, with 3 laptops, a dozen streaming services, and one of the finest selections of quality sci-fi novels on Earth. Well, at least he looked kind of funny. Dr. McKay is reported to be unwell at present. Yes, he has a virus. It's not serious, but it is contagious, so... So the rumors that he is, in fact, now a werewolf are completely untrue. Completely. Luke Fang's virus was a condition which caused, as Luke Fang, the leading expert, herself put it, a mild and temporary form of lycanthropy. It didn't lead anyone to want to rend people limb from limb or howl at the moon, but it did give them a vast amount of body hair, notably larger and sharper teeth throughout, and a hankering for steak, regardless of previous dietary habits, until the virus wore off after about a month. The teeth were a pain from the blowjob point of view, which was a point John was often viewing things from, and Rodney tended to shed in the shower, which meant they had a more or less ongoing plumbing emergency. But other than that, well, it was far from the worst virus that either of them had been through. We all know that you met in Antarctica. Was it love at first sight? Have any of you actually met Rodney McKay? I watched the live feed. Never have I seen so many vultures hungry for the remotest scrap of titillation. I blame the hair. John cast a glance over Rodney's unusually hirsute body, receiving a roll of the eyes in return. Your hair. You know it won Sexiest Male of the Year in 2 separate magazines last June all on its own? Well, of course you do. You probably nominated it. John stroked his hair protectively. We have a complicated relationship. You talk to it when I'm not there. Don't try and deny it. The only thing that worries me is whether it talks back. John chose to maintain a dignified silence on the subject. His hair was very sensitive to mood. The two of you have experienced a number of fluctuations in age, both together and separately over the years, as a result of wraith attacks, alien substances, ancient devices, falling headfirst into the fountain of youth, etc., etc. President O'Neill has stated on many occasions that he was never sure when he called you whether you'd be packing a gun, a Zimmer frame, or a skateboard. Has this ever affected your relationship? Only once, when I was biologically 90 and Rodney stole my hearing aid, because it was just what he needed for the device he was working on. Generally, though, we've learned to kind of roll with it. Whatever the outsides, the insides never change. Yes, well, you were talking nonsense there, John. They change all the time. I remember when I was 90, my insides were substantially less reliable than when I was 40, or 20, or even 67. They were definitely on a downwards trend at that point. I was more referring to personality, Rodney. Oh, well, I suppose that hasn't ever changed much, though you were pretty crotchety about that hearing aid. I needed it to hear, Rodney. Rodney waved a hairy hand. Yes, yes, details. I apologized. I did apologize, didn't I? Rodney actually looked up from the laptop and turned a look of such doubt and utter contrition onto John that it caused him to lean over and kiss Rodney's furry cheek. Yes, Rodney, John lied. You apologized. It was practically a grovel. Oh, good. Rodney looked relieved for a moment and gave John a sweet and toothy smile. Then he frowned. Hang on. Was that incident the reason why my false teeth vanished and I had to wear stupid cartoonish vampire fangs? Because that was all that fit me for the whole 5 days I was old. John coughed and looked away. Are you sure all the bugging devices are gone? Maybe I should just do one more sweep. There have been many instances on record of each of you saving the other's life. I've heard people refer to you joking about taking turns. Do either of you keep a running tally? Who saved who the most times? Look, kid, you're young and maybe you don't realize this, but when the life of someone you love is on the line, that's not a joke. That's not a notch on your wall or any kind of one-upsmanship. It's stark terror and sleepless nights and scars that go deep and never fade. It's the need to keep touching them for days and weeks afterwards to remind yourself that it's okay. They're still there. That they're still there this time. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be flippant. Just maybe think a little about the people behind the questions, son. Of course, sir. But for the record, I've saved Rodney the most. Well, you obviously knew I was watching, so I'm not rising to the bait. But I have a pretty clear itemized list that says otherwise. Ha, I knew it. I knew you were keeping score. It's not deliberate. I just have near-perfect recall. Well, for some things. Not names so much. And capital cities. I never could remember capital cities for some reason. Whenever we had a quiz, I just said Lima to everything. John grinned. He had always aced those quizzes and continued kneading Rodney's shoulders. He wasn't planning to ever admit it because it got him lots of brownie points, sometimes in literal brownies, which was a rare concession from Rodney. But he really, really enjoyed giving his husband massages. Back, neck, shoulders, feet, more intimate areas. Any and every part of Rodney felt amazing to rub, even when covered in temporary werewolf hair. So, John, about the rest of what you said. Me too. John nodded and took a deep breath to chase both of their memories away and then continued working out the knots. So the big question, when was your first kiss? That's really the big question here? Well, no. Actually, the big question was when your first... Yeah, I'm pretty sure I get the idea. I just thought we'd work up through the bases until... You know what? I think we might stick to first kiss and leave it there. That wasn't our first kiss, by the way. What? Yes, it was. I came by the lab. You just solved some equation or something. Grand unified theory of everything, but close enough. And you look so alive and so damn kissable that I forgot I wasn't supposed to find you kissable. And, well, yes, yes, our mouths met. Lightning struck. The earth moved. And as it happens, I completely forgot a key part of my grand unified theory for 5 whole days. So that kiss actually set back the course of science. But I suppose it might have been almost worth it. You soppy romantic, you. Don't go spreading it about. But anyway, that was definitely the first time. Nuh-uh. John shifted so that he could see Rodney's face lit up with a mischievous smile. Okay. Third day of the expedition. Everyone was a little overwhelmed and overwrought, so Elizabeth decided that it would be a good plan for the department heads to have a little downtime to stop all of our brains from collectively exploding under the pressure. John frowned. Yeah, I think I remember. She had some smuggled brandy and vodka and for some reason Newcastle brown ale, which trust me doesn't mix well. I remembered we talked a little and then we went to sleep. Rodney's grin widened. No, what happened was we talked a little. Then you took off your shirt and challenged everyone to a kissing contest. You claimed that your tongue was the fastest in the West and also won prizes in the categories of most limber and deepest dive. At which point Elizabeth suggested that I escort you back to your room with some Tylenol and a glass of water. Oh, God, I didn't. I got you onto the bed without succumbing to your roaming tentacle hands, but then you asked for help with your buttons, and the next thing I know, the fastest tongue in the West is heading straight for my tonsils. Oh, God, I did. Yes, well, just be glad I was the only one in the room you kissed. John sobered suddenly. They're all dead now. Everyone in that room but us. Rodney turned and held John tight in his hairy arms, and they shared a moment of remembrance and then a drop of brandy and vodka as a toast. They hadn't any Newcastle Brown Ale, but both of them agreed that that was probably better for everyone. Thank you, Brigadier Shepherd, for your time and patience, and I'm sure that everyone here will join me in wishing your Dr. McKay a speedy recovery. Only one last question, if I may. Would the pair of you ever consider retiring to Earth? We're both very fond of Earth, and it will always have a special place in our hearts, but Atlantis is home now. I think it always will be. One down, 29 to go. John tried not to despair too loudly, but it was hard to contemplate the immediate future without wanting to hide in a cupboard, go for a run, and keep running, or fight an entire wraith hive with his bare hands. Not that they had to do that sort of thing anymore. The last time that John had seen Todd was at his and Rodney's wedding. He had bought them a toaster. But generally, John would rather do almost anything other than this relentless, insipid press tour. You know, in rare cases, Luke Fang's virus can reoccur. What? No, it can't. That's the only reason that they still let me room with you. Rodney raised a finger. Let me put it this way. I have a large quantity of shed hair, some edible body paint, a set of used fangs that I keep for freaking out new scientists, and access, with a little bit of easy hacking, to the Cheyenne Mountain Alien Disease Wiki, and I'm pretty sure they won't bother checking you over with hazard suits. They'll wave us back to Atlantis before you finish growling, I think I've had a relapse. John considered it. An hour or so with some fur glued on him, fake teeth, and an air of completely spurious disappointment, or another 29 days of being grilled about his love life, with a few small asides on such vital topics as his favorite nebula. Okay, Rodney, wolf me. And if it took longer than it should, because Rodney kept forgetting that he wasn't supposed to be licking the paint off, well, that was just a bonus. The end.